Today's scripture reading can be found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 on page 1900 in your pew Bible. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all have this hope in him, purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Our second reading is found in Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, which is on page 1642 in your pew Bible. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May God bless the reading of his word.
Would you join me in prayer this morning? Today, seeking you, looking for a word of life and a word of hope. Lord, meet us where we are, but for our good and for your glory, don't leave us where you found us. Lord, fill us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas and Easter are always fascinating seasons for this preacher for a lot of reasons. But one is this: if you go into any store, You go into a Walmart, ShopRite, Rite Aid, CVS, and if you're standing at the checkout line and you look at the smattering of magazines there, what do you see? You see the National Enquirer. You see a story about how the Queen is actually from Mars. Yes, you see those. But at Christmas and Easter, what else do you see? Sorry, that was really funny. We know where Janet's mind is. Candy! Yeah, that's where mine is too, Janet. You'll often see, you know, Time, Newsweek, there are special editions about who? Jesus! All right. Lots of magazines, lots of interest about Jesus. It's the same around Christmas and Easter if you turn on the television, right? The History Channel, Learning Channel, all those types of channels will have these documentaries, these stories about Jesus. Well, a couple years ago, as I was waiting in a rather long line and trying not to lose what little sanctification that I have left of my losing my patience, I grabbed one of the magazines and I started to flip through it. And here's what I've discovered looking at some of those magazines and watching the TV programs. There's a lot of facts and a lot of information about Jesus. I mean, they kind of get the gist of the story, right? He was this man. He was an important figure in history. He did some miracles, or at least, you know, allegedly did miracles. This and that. He died. He rose. Kind of get some of the details. There's a lot of facts about Jesus. We see it in a variety of media, especially at Christmas and Easter. But there's very little about why Jesus came. The gospel, the mission of Christ. There's very little about that. There's a lot about the facts. There's a lot of head knowledge. But there's very little understanding. Very little heart connection. You see that today in the reading from Luke. You have these two disciples, Cleopas and another who's unnamed, as they're walking along, leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus. This is the night of the first Easter. And as they meet this stranger along the road, who inquires as to what they're talking about and what this is that happened in Jerusalem, they give a lot of facts. They give a lot of information about this man named Jesus. But there's no understanding. There's no connection. There's a lot of the what, but there's none of the why. That's all around us today, I would argue, in our culture. You stop most people who are not churchgoers and you ask them about Jesus, they probably can give you some of the details. Say he's an important figure. Some say he was God. He came. He was here. He did stuff. He died. They get the gist of it. There's a lot of folks who know about Jesus. And it's one thing to know about Jesus, and it's another thing entirely to know Jesus. Cleopas and this other disciple, as they're walking along, they're talking about the facts and the information. But then one comes alongside them, the man of whom they are speaking, and they don't even know it. Because they know a lot about Jesus. But here's the moment where they meet Jesus. And in meeting Jesus, they slowly, over several miles, and then sitting down at a meal, meet Jesus. N.T. Wright, the famous New Testament scholar, calls Luke's recording of the story of Emmaus the masterpiece within the masterpiece. Luke and his two-part work, Luke and Acts, is absolutely brilliant literary writing. He excels in detail, in flourish, in character development, in plot. And within the masterpiece that Luke wrote of the book of Luke and the book of Acts, we have this scene 22 verses of this walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus that is rich with intensity, passion, intrigue. The tension mounts as these characters, Cleopas and another who's unnamed, walk along with Jesus, and slowly something dawns upon them that this is someone special. And when they eventually realize who it was, they see their hearts burned within them, and they go back to Jerusalem to tell what they have encountered. Often when we come to the gospel writers, location is important. Remember on Palm Sunday, the significance of Jesus coming in on the eastern gate into the city of Jerusalem? These details are important for us. Walking away from Jerusalem. In the book of Luke, Jerusalem is where the action is. Jesus, at the beginning of the book of Luke, the writer says he sets his face to Jerusalem. That's where he's going. That's where he dies on the cross. That's where he rises again. That's where the Holy Spirit descends. And Cleopas and an unnamed disciple walking away. They're going somewhere else. Imagine what they've experienced. The trauma, the loss, the grief, the confusion. In a way, the story of the road to Emmaus is for any of us who have ever been lost to grief and to doubt, to sadness and to confusion, to trauma. Walking, perhaps aimlessly, somewhere. This is a story for us. Because what happens? Cleopas and an unnamed disciple wandering away from Jerusalem in a haze of grief and confusion, Jesus still comes to them. He still walks alongside them. He doesn't wait until they have it all figured out. He walks with them. Even though they don't recognize him, even though they don't know who he is, he walks with them. And he talks to them, and the irony is so rich, isn't it? Because here is the man about whom they are speaking. And they're talking about everything that's happened in Jerusalem. And he comes alongside them, he says, "What are you talking about?" And with a hint of incredulity, they say, "How can you not know? Are you the only one who hasn't heard about everything that's happened?" He says, "What's happened?" And then they start to tell him. They start to give him the facts about this man that they knew, about Jesus. And he listens. And after a while, he starts to teach them. He opens up the scripture to the prophets, to everything there which speaks of him. And as they walk along and as they come to a place, it's getting near evening time. And he wants to keep going, but they invite him in for a meal. And in a moment, in an action that they have seen before, when he takes bread and he breaks it and he blesses it, in a moment, their eyes are open. And they realize who their companion has been for all those hours, all those miles. You see, friends, of all the layers of meaning in this beautiful, incredible masterpiece of a story, here's one that I want us to receive deeply and truly, is that we can know a lot about Jesus, but until we actually encounter the risen Christ, we do not know who he is. We must meet him. We meet him in the Word. We meet him in the breaking of the bread and in the taking of the cup. And he comes to us. The miracle, the beauty of our faith is this. He doesn't wait until we have it all figured out. Because if he did, guess what? You and I would be here a long time. He doesn't. While these two disciples are lost in a haze of confusion, and they have no idea about this man, Jesus. He comes alongside them. And he doesn't judge them. He doesn't say, oh, come on, you guys, you're so stupid. He doesn't insult them. He doesn't speak down to them. He lovingly walks with them. And he asks them questions. And he opens up the scripture. And he shows them, in probably the greatest Bible study that the world has ever known, he opens it up and he shows how it is all about him. And slowly as they walk, and then as they sit down, and as they receive this bread, they realize who he is. And what happens when the eyes of their hearts are opened and they receive him and they realize who he is? They go back to Jerusalem. Because see, friends, when we move from knowing about Jesus to then knowing Jesus, the scriptures show us again and again and again that we can't keep that in. We can't keep it to ourselves. We got to tell somebody about the person who walked with us in our sadness and in our grief, in our confusion and in our trauma. The one who walked with us. The one who loved us when maybe we couldn't even love ourselves. And as we open our hearts to him, and as we see him for who he is, and as the resurrected Christ teaches us, how can we keep silent? We have to go. We have to go out. As Bill prayed in his prayer, out to the mission field. Every single instance in Scripture, when someone meets Christ and their life is changed, they go and they tell somebody. Over and over and over again. Because there's something about this man from Nazareth named Jesus that when we encounter him on the road of our lives, when we receive him into our hearts, when he changes us, we got to tell somebody. Amen and amen.